Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Amendment number 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment number 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment number 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house, without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment number 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment number 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land, or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment number 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment number 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment number 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment number 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment number 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
In 1814 we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made a few
bugle string. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing.
We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we saved their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well.
We fired our guns and the British kept coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. Well, down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles. And they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind.
We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles. And they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Always looking to seize the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. It's not hard to argue that we live in a crazy world today and things have changed since the good old days, so to speak. Been a lot throughout the history of America that, had its ups and downs, all kinds of craziness, all the way from the actual founding of this country all the way till the present time. But you have senators and congressmen and women actively today violating their oaths to the Constitution. Essentially, they're going out there slapping the bee's nest. And what I mean by that, if you think about what it means to even slap a bee's nest, it's really not a good idea. You slap that bee's nest and all them bees come out and they're not too happy about the situation, and you're liable to get stung. That's a bad thing, you know. And unfortunately, some of these folks out there, they just don't seem to get it. You try to put the message out there, you know, the warning signs are on the writing's on the wall, so to speak. But these individuals, they just don't seem to, they don't seem to get it. They seem to have ignored history and, you know, are basically trying to further an agenda that they're going to have a really hard time with. Anyway, with that said, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Also, People for People Radio Network. If you are on the Super Chat room, there is a link for the People for People Radio Network if you want to go over there and say hi to those wonderful folks. But we're talking about slapping the bee's nest, so to speak. Really not a good idea, and we see this incrementally. It's just, American people are pretty doggone tolerant. They tolerate a lot, but it's a whole different world today than it was back in the day. You know, even during the Civil War, it's a whole lot different story now. There's a lot more going on. And, you know, keep in mind, I'm an advocate of peace. I want peace and love and harmony for all. But also, with that said, I'm not naive. I'm not naive to the extent where I want to allow that security to be put into somebody else's hands. You know, I live in an area where, you know, it could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to 2 hours to possibly never before help could arrive if I had to call for an emergency. And so, to me, not only is the Second Amendment, important to my family's security, you know, it's actually my duty according to the United States Constitution. I have served my country in so many different fashions that I can't explain, but I'm not the only one. There's so many of them out there. I come from a long line of military individuals who have basically put their lives and family at jeopardy to go out and serve and protect the world in, you know, so many different capacities. And so, you know, like I said, you know, so many times before, you know, that's I'm a peace-loving man. I don't want any violence anywhere in this world. I wish that you know, we could magically take all the violence out and all, and the world you know, be just this happy, wonderful place to live in. You know, it's an ultimate dream. But unfortunately for humanity, we haven't quite made it there yet. So I'm starting off this show just as a little reminder to those out there who have found themselves in seats of power that you might want to rethink some of the things that you're running out there spewing off to the people. And even to the people for that extent that are, you know, applauding in the background, you know, when senators talk about going around and rounding up people's firearms and maybe throwing them in jail if they don't comply and so on down the line. You really need to watch what you wish for, because you might actually get what you wish for, but it may not turn out the way that you had planned it. And unfortunately for, you know, the world and us in general here in the United States of America, there will be no winner of a second Civil War here in the United States. There will be no winner. You might as well just consider this place to be a wasteland for here to eternity until, you know, until it's over and until the end. Because what I see coming down the line, and in what I listen to and what I hear from people, that if it comes down to, you know, an all-out, you know, government tyrannical system violating that Constitution, you know, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, we talk about those too because those are really important, but they're not the only ones. There's many amendments to the Constitution. But there are congressmen and women that are actively violating their oath of office by going against that Constitution. They shouldn't even be voicing what they do about how to violate these rights. And, you know, all under the guise of security, all under the guise of safety, you know, all in the name of the children and so on and so on. You know, this is how they try to incrementally, you know, tug on your heartstrings and play on your emotions to say, you know, we don't want no violence, big daddy government, you come in and take care of us. Well, it's been tried before, and it's failed miserably. There are article after article, such as one that Barbara, I think, posted that says, you know, if socialism and communism are great, why 100 million victims are so many freedom fighters? Well, that ought to be some sort of warning flag. That ought to be something to tell, you know, a little telltale sign that, you know, it doesn't necessarily work out. It may sound good in theory that everybody, you know, has all their needs met and all this, but, you know, when you have a system, a governmental system that is in charge of it, and that governmental system is already corrupt before it ever even gets started, well, then it's not gonna work out so well. You know, The king's eating high on the hog while the peasants are suffering and starving to death. We've seen this in many nations. We've seen, atrocities in many nations where governments and militaries will actually come up against their own people. So do you think that, looking through that history and all the way back to the founding, the Revolutionary War and so on and so forth, do you think that the American people at this stage in the game are willing to give up their freedoms? Now, it's like this. Once a man has tasted freedom, you're not going to beat it out of him. You might try, but you're not going to be successful. And even if you are with some, you're not going to be, successful with others. And, throughout the history of this country, there have been those folks that are willing to go to the limit in order to protect this country from a tyrannical system. And it, to this day, Americans are armed to the teeth. They are armed to the teeth. And whatever you think of, gun control or guns in general, it's a serious thing. It is probably by far one of the most serious things here in the United States. Now, unfortunately, we have gun crime. We have crimes, all kinds of crimes. We have crimes not even related to guns. I mean, every nation out there, regardless of whether they got gun control or not, they have serious situations, serious problems, stabbings, beatings, robbery, rape, you name it. So society and humanity hasn't necessarily got to that stage where they're, all peaceful and loving and want to take care of each other, where they finally reach that ultimate enlightenment of, we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and be good caretakers of the land that we're on and the world that we live in and one another. We still have places in this world where people can't even get food. They can't get fresh water. They don't have access to the luxuries, electricity and resources necessary for them to be able to uplift their lives. And they call those places third world nations. In wartime and all over different conflicts out there, they call these people collateral damage. And so, under the guise of going out and finding a terrorist, an innocent family could, just end up being collateral damage. Well, if you think about what I'm saying, folks, it's a serious situation, because I never want to see this in any nation. I wish that there could be peace across the land if I had the power in my hands to reach out there and touch this world and heal it from all of its wounds and its heartache and its hatred and all the bad things that bring a man or a woman to want to do harm to another. I wish that I had the power to do so, to fix it. I really do. But I don't. Unfortunately, I don't. All I've got is these words and these ideas in my heart and my mind that I try to share with the world, because I don't want to see what I see coming in my head. I don't want to see, the things that we've seen in the past in other nations. We've actually seen in the past in this country. During the Civil War, it wasn't all flowers and bunny rabbits. It was some pretty terrible things happened during that. During the Revolutionary War, the same exact thing. And the battlefield isn't a pretty place. A battlefield isn't a place. It's not where you want to be. There are things that change in a man's heart and mind on a battlefield. And those things, they'll be carried with that individual for the rest of their life and may affect their family in such a adverse way that it's just terrible. So I'm hoping that these doggone words coming out of my mouth will reach the right ears in this world. Whether you're a liberal or a conservative or one of the representatives elected to office or however you got there, that seat that you're sitting in is should be an honorable position. It should be you're there to try to work with the people and represent them to the best abilities. Now, I understand safety and security, and I understand all this stuff. But you have to understand that when you swore an oath to that United States Constitution, we the people took that seriously. It means that you said that you were going to protect, preserve that Constitution. You were going to honor and uphold your oath to office. When you're out there talking about how you're going to go around door to door and round up people's only means of defense, well, you better be ready for it. You know, you better be ready for it, because I'm sorry to say to you that the American people are not going to comply. And when that happens, you've opened that can of worms, and once Pandora's box is open, there is no turning back. There's absolutely no turning back. I'm going to play this deal about the shot heard around the world that this one YouTuber says. He says it pretty well. Listen to this.
Hey everyone, Reed Erickson, Valley Ridge. In this video, we're going to talk about Patriots Day and what it meant for our nation. Today's April 19th. This is one of my all-time favorite days in our nation's history, because it happened on April 19th, 1775. This is when the shot heard around the world was fired to start the American Revolution. So we need to teach the young children this story, that our forefathers in this country, when it came to confiscation of firearms, when it came to gun control, our forefathers stood their ground. They were unwilling to disperse. They stood in the face of tyranny, armed and ready and willing to fight on that day. And this is a story that we need to tell the younger people in this country, because they think, oh, the American Revolution was started because of taxation. No, that's not why the American Revolution was started. That's when the grumblings began. That's when animosity against the crown and parliament began. But what actually started the American Revolution were the British Redcoats, the British regular army, ordered by their general, who was ordered by his superiors in parliament to disarm the colonial militia in the countryside. Obviously, before this, there had been a long time, 10 to 12 years of animosity between the colonists and the Parliament and Crown of Great Britain. And this, there had been taxes, there was protests, there were things that were going on, like the Stamp Act and the Townshend Acts and the Intolerable Acts. And the colonists tolerated this for the most part. Yes, they dumped the tea in Boston Harbor in 1773. Yes, they tolerated British troops being quartered in their houses and acts like that. In the city of Boston, you had Patriots and Tories that lived side by side with one another. The Patriots, of course, wanted their rights restored as Englishmen. The Tories, of course, supported the Crown and Parliament. And we have these groups of people that lived right next door to one another and interacted with each other on a daily basis. In other words, you had diametrically opposed views on how the government should be and how their lives should be led. And when you have a group of people that are fully supporting the crown, you have another group of people who wanted their rights restored, especially the Sons of Liberty, like Paul Revere and Samuel Adams and John Hancock and individuals like that. This is where the story gets interesting. See, the colonial militia had been training for years. They foresaw a fight coming. They knew what was going to happen. They knew that eventually they were going to have to restore their rights as Englishmen with force of arms. They understood that. That's why the militia from one end of the continent to the other were drilling, were training, were preparing. And when you have a group of people in the city of Boston, not all of them supported the crown, as I already said. And one of those groups of people were known as the Sons of Liberty. And in the Sons of Liberty, they were very outspoken against the crown's policies. They were very outspoken against unjust taxation. And they were very outspoken against being forced to buy things against their will. For example, the tea from the East India Company. Early in the morning on April 19th, 1775, this is when the Redcoats were beginning to go out of Boston. The one if by land, two if by sea, by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And we used to read that poem when I was in grade school. When I was in elementary school, we read that poem, and it was always a fascinating story. And what you have is you had a network of people to pass messages on to the militia. And this, of course, were members of the Sons of Liberty, most notably Paul Revere. Now, there were three men that night that rode out into the Massachusetts countryside to warn the colonial militia that the British British regulars were coming. You had Paul Revere, of course. You had William Dawes and Samuel Prescott. Now, a couple of these guys were captured. People don't understand this, or maybe they not have heard this, but Paul Revere was actually captured on that ride. He was intercepted by a patrol of redcoats. William Dawes also did not complete his leg of the journey. The only one that made it through unscathed was Samuel Prescott. Now, upon hearing this, the militia at Lexington assembled. Numbers vary as to how many people were actually there, but the lowest number I've researched is 70. The highest number is 200. So needless to say, it was a very small group of people going against the British regulars that were marching there. John Parker, of course, was in charge of the militia in Lexington. He organized his forces. The rumor has it that there was a pub nearby, at which point they gained a little liquid courage and assembled and stood at the main road where the British were supposed to pass through. They were assembled. They were in formation, at which point the British arrived, and the command, of course, was "Disperse ye rebels." Now, this is a watershed moment in history, because had they complied, had they decided, you know what, we're just going to disperse, we'll let them do what they needed to do. And by the way, the mission of the Redcoats was to disarm the militia and take all of their muskets, their powder, and their musket balls, and their cannon. Yes, they did have cannon. And also to take some of their food supplies. That was their mission. Of course, we know the story. We know that the colonial militia refused to disperse. They refused. They stood their ground. They stood tyranny in the face, and they defied the most powerful empire in the world on this day. Nobody really knows who fired first. There are conflicting accounts. Some people say the British fired first. Some people say that the colonials fired first. This is why trigger finger discipline is important. Some of those flintlocks, when you had that trigger, if you touched it, it would go off. We really don't know. It doesn't matter who fired first, because that was the shot heard around the world. That was the first shots fired of the American Revolution. Of course, the colonists eventually did scatter, because the British stood and they're very disciplined at what they did. And of course, the Redcoats continued on to Concord. Now, at Concord, it was a much different story. Word had passed around in that countryside that, yes, there had been shots fired at Lexington, so boys, we better prepare for a fight. And boy, did they sure do that at Concord. There's a Battle of Northbridge, one of the most famous battles in American history. It was at this point where the British were funneled into a bridge, and they were heavily induced casualties on their side. Now, eventually they did occupy the town at Concord, but on the way back to Boston, this is where the hornet's nest got kicked up. Because on the way back to Boston, that entire day, they were harassed, shot at, and sustained heavy casualties from the colonial militia. People from all around that rural place got involved in the fight and fought the Redcoats all the way back to Boston. And in fact, there were as many as 10,000 to 15,000 militia surrounding Boston at the end of this day, at which point the British were effectively under siege in their own fortress. Ladies and gentlemen, there are modern Redcoats among us right now. There are modern Redcoats that would forcibly disarm the American public if given power, or at least they would attempt to. It wouldn't go over very well. But there are modern Redcoats right now. Individuals I'll name directly, people like Representative Swalwell, who said he would put gun owners in jail if they didn't comply with his confiscation order. You ain't a dictator, dude. You ain't a dictator. You're nothing. You're some dirtbag from California who has no bearing on our lives whatsoever. I'm talking about people like Dianne Feinstein. I'm talking about people like Kamala Harris, like the front runner of the Democrat Party right now, socialist Bernie Sanders. These are the modern Redcoats above us. They want big government. They want gun control. They want high taxation. They are the modern Redcoats. And we're looking at them having to spew off all their knowledge. And it's important for the young people in this nation to know that those ideas are anti-American. Their views on politics are un-American. They are completely out of step with American history. And quite honestly, they are invalid and unworkable in our constitutional republic. So here it is, April 19th, 2019. And I wanted to share that story with you. If you found the information in this video helpful, subscribe to the channel. And if you want to learn how to use your firearms for self-defense of your family, your home, your state, and your country, come on out to Valley Ridge and we can help you with that. This is Reed Hendricks of Valley Ridge reminding you, the lessons that we learn are written on the tombstones of others. We'll see you on the ridge.
was pretty well spoken. That was a story of part of the history of the actual founding of this country that I live in, and that some of you out there live in. The thing is, there are modern day militias, there are gangs, there are all different types of people from different groups that some of which really would look forward to an all-out chaotic event here in the United States. Some of those that would actually take advantage of that type of situation to, you know, further their own agenda. There are groups and organizations and just folks, you're not talking about the same type of culture that was back in those days. So if anything was to come about, it wouldn't be what you imagined as far as one side against the other. You're going to talk about just complete and utter chaos, some sort of road warrior mentality like a Mad Max movie or something. I often mention that if you ever wanted to get a kind of a look at what is the possibilities of occurring, go out and watch the entire series The Jericho, because that's something that when you sit there and watch through that series, it just makes you think. It's something that you would not want to have to live through. And who can you trust? The world that would be unleashed, the chaos, the craziness that would be unleashed here in the United States if the American people rose up against each other and the government, and the government back against vice versa, some of the military on some side and some of the military on the other side, some of the law enforcement on one side, some of the law enforcement on the other side. You wouldn't know. You just wouldn't know. Vietnam was bad. It was real bad. There were a lot of terrible things that occurred in Vietnam. But a second American Revolution, a second Civil War here in America would be so much more beyond terrible than what Vietnam was. Now, I feel bad for all those folks that had to endure that in any conflict. Whether it be, from the beginning of the wars all the way up to, modern day conflicts and wars that are going on to this very minute. My heart goes out to them. Just like they said, war is hell. And hell on earth would be here in the United States, and it would domino. It would literally domino. It would domino into Canada, it would domino into Mexico, it would domino throughout the entire world. It would reverberate, and it would just completely and utterly shake the foundations of this world that we live in. I pray that this never even comes to pass. I honestly do. I just don't understand why people keep slapping the bee's nest. I don't understand why they keep on doing what it is that they're doing. I would love to live in a peaceful world. I would love to live in a world where we could all lay down our arms and say, hey, we're confident, we're safe, everybody's doing good, and we got this perfect utopia. I would love to see that. Unfortunately, at this stage in the game, we're not there yet. We still have conflicts that we can't even resolve here in the United States. You still have the left versus right paradigm. You still have the corruption in the governmental systems. You still have, abuse of powers all over the place. So imagine all those little tiny abuses of powers to some people are huge to other people. And those abuses of power are the reason why they cling to their Second Amendment. The reason why they cling to being able to defend themselves. Law enforcement will flat out tell you that they are not there to protect you. They will tell you that. It used to say on the side of the law enforcement vehicles, to serve and protect. Maybe in some areas here in the United States it might say to serve and protect, but it's not the same anymore. They've literally become armed revenue generators for the state. They've literally become money-making machine. They've literally licensed everything. They've literally put laws after laws after laws. You can break laws here in the United States and not even know you're breaking the law. There's actual study out there of how many felonies the average person produces on one day, commits on one day. Imagine that. And then suddenly, you know, the crackdown, even if the crackdown happened incrementally, the crackdown would land in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time, and those first shots heard around the world would repeat. I don't like violence. I don't like violence because I grew up in a world where I've seen a lot of violence. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon, and it shocks me to my core. It pains me deep inside my soul. My spirit has scars that will never heal. And to see and hear those things, and watch the way that the world is unfolding before my very eyes, all those things that all the men and women had sacrificed for all them years can't just go in vain. They can't just be all for nothing. They fought for freedom. They fought for justice. They fought for peace. They fought to protect their family, at least, or so they were told. So, the world that we live in, yeah, it's a dangerous place. But it keeps on getting, they're slapping the bee's nest, folks. I'm going to play this for you right here.
Almost everybody running for president as a Democrat is upset about something called assault weapons.
These assault weapons, weapons of war, they are potential instruments of terror. We need a renewed assault weapons ban.
And ban the sale and distribution of assault weapons.
I'm also the only guy that got assault weapons banned.
And a renewal of the assault weapons ban.
Democrats running for president say these weapons must be banned immediately. And this time, it won't simply just be a ban on the sale of them, like we saw in 1994 under the Clinton administration. Lawmakers now say they're going to seize these weapons from law-abiding citizens, take them away by force. Joe Biden is supposedly the moderate Democratic candidate in the race, and he proposed that without apology last month. Watch.
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo, you're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
So what exactly does it mean, assault weapon? Well, Democrats in the Congress think they've supplied an answer. 211 House Democrats, that's almost all of them, are backing the bill that they say would ban assault weapons in America. The next time they hold complete power in Washington, and that could be soon, it will likely become law. So what does the law do? Well, its definition of an assault weapon is almost 1,700 words long. We read it today. It includes dozens of specifically named firearms, including the AR-15 rifle that millions of Americans own, and some use for deer hunting. Yes, it is used for hunting, Joe Biden. You know nothing. Like the original assault weapons ban from 1994, the new one includes definitions designed to ban minor features that make, in effect, a gun look scarier. Any semi-automatic rifle, for example, regardless of how powerful it is, will be banned, as long as it has a detachable magazine and one other feature that House Democrats appear to be frightened by. Whether it's a forward grip, or a barrel shroud, or a threaded barrel for attaching a suppressor, none of those things make a gun more powerful or more deadly. They're cosmetic features. They don't make it more military style. But they do make them illegal under this proposed law. Handguns under the bill are targeted the same way. The bill would ban any semi-automatic handgun pistol that weighs more than 50 ounces. The gun doesn't have to do anything else. A pistol being heavier than Democrats think it should be makes it a military-style assault weapon. Are you catching on here? This is all made up. This is a gun bill written by people who know nothing about guns. It's moronic. The bill doesn't just target rifles or handguns, though. Even shotguns are listed. The bill would ban any semi-automatic shotgun with, quote, a revolving cylinder. By the way, there aren't many shotguns with a revolving cylinder, but it would mean that the antique Colt 1855 shotgun is now banned because it's a military-style assault weapon. But the real villain for Democrats isn't guns, despite all the rhetoric. It's actually bullets. Their bill will ban any American from protecting him or herself with a firearm that holds more than 10 rounds. Wait, did we just say any American? No, of course not. Not any American. This law would only apply to you. It would not apply to the people writing it. Our exalted leaders in Washington will be as safe as they always have been. I know some of the bodyguards living at your house, okay? And they've got magazines that I can't protect my family with. Right. Does that bother you as a champion of the little guy?
Tucker, someone who serves in public service for a limited period of time, and in the society we're living in, I hate to say it, but public servants are vulnerable to violence in a different way.
So the guy delivering baked goods to the bodega in East New York at 3 in the morning, he doesn't get to protect himself because his job isn't important enough. But Bill de Blasio, who works like 8 hours a month, he needs bodyguards with guns that you're not allowed to have because his life and the lives of his family members are way more important than your life. Oh, I get it. So protection for me, but not for thee. That really is our governing elites in a nutshell. Bill de Blasio has endorsed forcible gun seizures, so has Elizabeth Warren.
The idea that we don't have elimination of assault-type weapons, magazines that can hold multiple bullets in them, is absolutely mindless.
Yes, mindless. That's the perfect word for what you just heard. Joe Biden has said, in the clip we just played, that any magazine that holds more than a single round ought to be banned, and it's crazy not to.
I'm hoping this is just another Joe Biden gaffe, that he just has no idea what he's talking about, because I don't know of a single magazine, Tucker, that doesn't hold more than one round of ammunition. If he means what he says, and he actually knows what he's talking about, then you're right. He's talking about banning every single gun out there that accepts a magazine.
How do you address the fears that the government is going to take away those assault rifles, as you call them, if you're talking about buybacks and banning?
Yeah. So I want to be really clear that that's exactly what we're going to do. Americans who own AR-15s, AK-47s, will have to sell them to the government.
What I hear when he says that is, I'm going to come door to door and take your guns from you, and I'm going to bring my guns, because if you don't want to give them up, I'm going to use my guns to force them from you. We're talking mass-scale police door to door. We're talking insane amounts of money. And you already said it. The assault weapon ban we had under the Clinton era not only did nothing to curb gun violence, we actually peaked. Our worst violence we had peaked during the middle of the Clinton assault weapons ban.
San Francisco, the city plagued with massive problems, obvious problems if you ever go there, huge homeless population, needles, human waste piled on sidewalks, no exaggeration, car break-ins at the highest level in the country. The city government, though, doesn't care about this. They have other priorities, including, this week, the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco labeled the National Rifle Association a domestic terror organization. Watch this.
Supervisor Catherine Stephanie wrote the scathing declaration, reading in part, quote, "The National Rifle Association spreads propaganda that misinforms and aims to deceive the public about the dangers of gun violence."
The NRA has it coming to them, and I will do everything that I possibly can to call them out on what they are, which is a domestic terrorist organization.
This same group of people is siding with criminals over the law-abiding, has opened our borders to foreign nationals whose names we don't even know, is presiding over a country that's getting dirtier and more chaotic and more dangerous. And at exactly the point all of this is happening, they're saying, you don't have the right to defend yourself. That should make us nervous, I would think.
It makes me... Look, I've done a whole documentary series on San Francisco. I think we even talked about it on your show in the past.
Yes,
and I remember being there. Thank you very much. And I vividly remember being there. My concealed carry in Texas doesn't transfer over to California. So I was walking these streets without the ability to protect myself. And I didn't like it. It wasn't a very comfortable situation. So I can only imagine the people that have to live there day in and day out, considering all of the crime that's going on there now. It's a serious problem.
The NRA was founded in 1871. It is one of the oldest civil rights organizations in America. Charlton Heston, who went on to be the NRA president, marched with Martin Luther King Jr., was standing on the Lincoln Memorial steps when he gave his I Have a Dream speech. Roy Innes, who was a civil rights icon, he served on the NRA board of directors for 25 years until his death in 2017. I have met thousands of NRA members. I'm a lifetime member. These people like personal responsibility. They like freedom. They believe in the Second Amendment. And that is why they are members of the NRA.
Right.
And I think it's important to be clear, people don't own firearms because of the NRA, as San Francisco says in this stupid ordinance that they passed. They own firearms because they have a constitutional right to do so to protect themselves and their families. And everything that NRA members represent, rural America, individualism, personal responsibility, is what the left hates. It's not just about guns. It's about what people in the NRA represent, what their values are, a traditional American values, and wanting freedom from the government to take care of themselves so they don't have to go to the government and ask for help when the government can't be there to protect them.
Exactly.
They want to do it themselves, which is why the Second Amendment is so important to them. And for San Francisco and other leftist politicians to continually smear them and accuse 5 million Americans of being domestic terrorists when they're not the ones shooting up schools, and they're not the ones carrying out mass shootings.
Exactly right.
They're doing the opposite by trying to prevent them through legislation and by educating people about the respectful and lawful use of firearms.
Yeah. In new Rasmussen poll, 28% of Democrats, almost a third, say it should be illegal to belong to any gun rights organization. Illegal. In other words, almost a third of all Democrats believe it should be a crime to openly support part of the U.S. Constitution.
It's essentially what happens when you have a society that starts to champion the idea of emotion over intellect. We've essentially turned into basically a big group of mean girls. We're basically, if I don't like what they do and like what they say, you can't join them or be a part of them either. That's all emotion. But the idea of, of communicating and engaging in intellectual conversation about a topic, we can't do that now. It's almost essentially a dumbification of America. But what's the end goal here? We're talking about an organization that has 5 million people who are American citizens. So what are we going to do? We're going to start rounding them up and throwing them in prison too? And the irony is our founding fathers were considered terrorists by way of the British government because they wanted to come and confiscate our firearms and they said no. So now we're literally dealing with elements in our own country who are saying, you know what? We want to prevent you from owning firearms, and as a result of that, we're going to deem you a terrorist. So you've essentially proved the point why the Second Amendment is as relevant today as it was in 1791 when the Second Amendment was ratified, and that, no, you actually do want to eliminate the idea of bearing arms in this country, and you'll go to whatever extreme possible to do it, even to deem you a terrorist. And we all know what we do with terrorists in this country. It's not a good sight. The last time we had an issue of confiscation in this country, we started a Revolutionary War. So just put that, that puts things into perspective pretty blatantly at that point. And I know a ton of Americans who wouldn't apply, who would not succumb to the idea or the notion of having their weapons confiscated from them based on their Second Amendment rights.
What are you going to use to take people's guns? Tucker, what is Joe Biden going to use to go and take people's guns?
Guns. What you're going to have is law enforcement that everyone on the left is calling racist going into black neighborhoods and taking people's guns away.
You know,
tell me, I mean, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, that's obviously something I'm not for.
Some Democrats are pushing hard for the adoption of a federal red flag law. You may have heard the phrase, what is that exactly? Well, a red flag law would allow police to seize a person's guns without convicting or even charging that person with any crime. All they need to do is decide that that person is a threat to public safety.
There are even elected members of our House of Representatives that have referred to law-abiding gun owners as, and I quote, domestic terrorists. And these are the individuals that would be implementing this red flag system. First off, the red flag proposals, and I've read the language of the laws in the 17 states that have passed these, including the District of Columbia as well. It's all an inversion of our due process, where you are presumed guilty, and then later on, you know, maybe on, I think in Indiana on average, it's about 9 months. You have your day in court, and you can try to get your property back and clear your name if you have been falsely accused. It is an absolute removal of a cornerstone of our republic, and if Republicans right now under the Trump administration, if they support this, Tucker, if they support this, and if they go in with the universal background checks and everything else, they will have done more than Barack Obama when he was president to undermine our Second Amendment rights. Is that what they want their legacy to be?
If government can simply take away your constitutional rights by deciding you're dangerous and not proving it, then how are they constitutional rights in the first place? And if red flag laws require no criminal charges at all, what would protect you from being abused for political reasons?
In some states, pretty much any Tom, Dick, and Harry can report you and say that they think you're dangerous and that you have firearms, and then law enforcement have no, they do not, they're not required to give advance notice. You're talking about serving, you know, no-knock warrants and all of this other stuff.
But there's also talk by some of these candidates about a tax, a new tax or a fee. Wouldn't that just make it even just more possible for the rich to be able to enjoy their Second Amendment while shutting out once again the poor and the disenfranchised?
I've said it before and I'll say it again, I've been saying it for years. The vast majority of gun control disproportionately affects people of a lower economic status.
Correct, correct.
Period. And the irony behind this is that the vast majority is that the people in these places probably need the guns a lot more than individuals like you and I or some of the people who are pushing these gun control measures. So this really has nothing to do with saving lives. It's all about scoring political talking points to get elected.
We just need to accept the notion that law-abiding gun owners do nothing to harm American security.
Exactly.
They make communities safer.
So that's just a little sample of what people are talking about. The thing is that, you know, these folks out there in the leadership role, and even some of the average Joes and Janes out there, are actively going against the rights of the people. They're actively trying to basically deplete or take away certain rights. Not just from themselves. You know, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, somebody said that if you give up your freedom for safety or security, that you deserve neither. I can't remember who said that, but and I'm probably not even quoting it properly. But nonetheless, it's when you're slapping that bee's nest, these folks they're playing this dangerous game. In their mind, they might think they're playing a game of chess with the American people. But when you have individuals that are standing by watching, and they're several moves ahead of the game, and they see how it's all going to play out, there's a lot more to factor in than just these rights that we keep talking about. There's a lot of trigger points, so to speak. There's a lot of potential things that could quite literally trigger an event such as a second revolution. And there are people out there, there are tons and tons and tons of militias out there. There are tons of patriots, tons of veterans. There are tons of people out there who are not going to comply. It's obvious the criminal's not going to comply. And so only those who fear their government would comply. And if you fear your government, then your government is out of control. If you fear your government, then your government has gone too far. The government should fear the people. If the government fears the people, then they're working for the people. If they're there to be representatives of the people, and they swear an oath to uphold and protect and preserve the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights for the people, and then actively go out there and speak out against those rights, they should be at the very least instantly removed from office for being in violation of their oath of office. because that's not protected. When you sit there and you get one side of the community all clapping, yay, gun control, and then you get the other side, wait a second, no, this ain't going down like that, rushing out to buy more firearms. Well, you just threw gasoline on the fire. And eventually, it only takes a spark. And you got a mess. You got a mess beyond all imagination. One of the sparks could be when this next election comes around. You've heard us talk about election fraud year after year because there's been incidents of people that aren't even legal to vote that did vote, that aren't even alive that voted, and there are incidents of people who weren't even in the state and voted. And so if the perception is that the election was quite literally stolen and that the people's voice no longer mattered, that could very well be the spark necessary to cause this mess. And I honestly feel that there are people out there who really would love to have this type of event occur. I honestly believe that there are people who are actively trying to destabilize the United States of America. But when they do that, they have to understand that it comes with consequences. It comes with a lot of consequences, some of which I'm not so sure that they're going to be willing to pay. Once again, I repeat over and over and over again, I am not anti-government. I'm not for violence. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. And I believe in common sense. I believe in, doing people right. I'm tired of all these wars. I'm war-weary. The whole of United States citizens are war-weary. We're tired of it. And constantly, time after time, you get administrations that take us into other conflicts that we don't need to be in. Now, I get it. You got neighbors over there, your allies or whatever, they're in harm. You come to the rescue, you help them out. That's one thing. But all these unconstitutional wars and conflicts has really quite literally given America a bad name. But when you get down to the roots of the American citizens themselves, I'm talking about all the American citizens from all different cultures, all different backgrounds. When you get down to the beginning of the whole deal, it's a whole lot different story. So, with that said, I'm going to play this deal from Millie Weaver talking about elections, because I think it's important.
Every smear campaign the Democrat Party and the mainstream media have directed towards President Trump has backfired.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
For those of you watching at home, that was not a bathroom break. That was actually a chance for the Democrats to go out and hold a press conference. Ambassador, for all the supposed bombshells that were in your opening testimony.
We're going to continue our investigation. We are going to continue to pursue...
Even after the documents handed in the report, you're going to...
Yes. Oh, yes. The investigation isn't going to end.
When you find yourself on the phone, like the Democrats did with Russian pranksters offering you nude pictures of Trump, might be time to ask yourself if you've gone out too far on a limb.
And now, ABC News has learned the House Intelligence Committee has obtained audio and video recordings of President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and the president himself.
It's Giuliani dressed in drag with Donald Trump.
You know, you're really beautiful.
Oh, you dirty boy! Oh, oh!
This impeachment, whatchamacallit, has turned into a train wreck in slow motion. You would think that with the Dems' circular firing squad, their endless Pez dispenser of impotent candidates, along with your average liberals, hands down, providing the most prolific contributions to cringe fail compilations ever, how could President Trump and fellow Republicans not have a landslide victory in 2020? So, while we're all eating popcorn, watching the clown show in the House, electronic voting machines have been set up to rig the 2020 election. And when I say rigged, I mean like this.
You've probably seen the three-card Monty before. The tosser tells you to follow a card as he mixes them up, then asks you to point out that card.
That's the game everyone thinks they're playing. The first thing that happens, though, is the tosser executes a secret move to switch the cards before the game even begins. Instead of throwing down this card, you're throwing down the card over. So it looks like this card.
Allow me to demonstrate for you how the 2019 Kentucky election was rigged. And if not rigged, at the very least, demands further explanation and investigation.
Tonight, voters in Kentucky sent a message loud and clear for everyone to hear. I haven't had an opportunity yet to speak to Governor Bevin, but my expectation is that he will honor the election that was held tonight, that he will help us make this transition.
With respect to our race, would it be a Bevin race if it wasn't a squeaker? I mean, come on. I mean, really and truly, this is a close, close race. We are not conceding this race by any stretch.
But more than anything else, we're challenging the media here today not to defend the Democrats, as they normally do, but to get into their own investigation and see what they can actually find.
Voter fraud needs to be cleared up. I mean, this issue needs to be cleared up and resolved. We need to have confidence in our process.
I have heard many reports about irregularities, but I agree that we need to find irregularities if it's in favor of the Democrats or the Republicans. It needs to be a fair election that we can have security in.
How did a Kentucky college student 1,000 miles away on election day have a signature appear on his voting record in Kentucky that same day?
On election day, November 5th, I was in Tampa, Florida for the entire day. Someone had voted under my name, signed my name, and that the clerk said that someone had used my ID to get in.
A North Dakota resident contacted the Kentucky Board of Elections to find out why herself and her immigrant husband were registered to vote in Kentucky this election.
I'm sorry, what evidence do you have?
Well, the evidence at this point is up to the Attorney General's office. We've gotten calls, emails, texts. His hotline has over 130 complaints right now. So what we're wondering is, what is he doing with the evidence? There's plenty out there. Is he investigating it? Is anybody looking into this?
Whether he's proceeding on this investigation, media reports indicate that Mr. Bashir's office responded by stating the office does not release information regarding investigations. Since our news conference Monday, we've been receiving information regarding voter fraud and potential election fraud, some of which we're going to share with you today. You can see from this image, you can confirm from online, if you can't see it right now. Governor Bevin won every precinct in Bell County but one, and he carried the county by roughly 61% of the vote. Yet, Governor Bevin lost amongst the advanced ballots by almost the same margin as he won the remainder of the county. We're not saying this is proof. We're saying this raises questions that deserve answers. In this first screenshot, we have Attorney General Bashir with 673,948 votes at this moment in the election. Governor Bevin had 662,235 at this moment in the election. So that put Attorney General Bashir ahead 11,713 votes. We switch to this next image a moment later. You see where our vote totals have swapped, or our percentages have changed a little bit. That's because our numbers changed. But how did they change? This is what's interesting. Attorney General Bashir now has 674,508 votes. Governor Bevin has 661,675 votes. That's a change of 650. Governor Bevin lost 560 votes. How do you lose votes on election night? I don't think that's possible. And then mysteriously, the 560 that he lost magically appeared in Attorney General Beshear's column. How's that happen?
If the vote count is off by 5,100 or so, approximately, it means about 1.45 votes per precinct. So imagine sitting there 12 hours, having people vote, and just one or two have to be off to change the direction of this election.
X18 stonewalled our presenter today, demanding more and more evidence. That's their job, to discover evidence. They really are representing, as they do almost all the time, the Democrat Party.
What have you done to investigate this issue?
We've been voting. We got
it. You never said a word about it. What have you learned?
We've actually been on the phone. We've got reports.
Sure.
On there.
And you were dead silent in the meeting about it.
Because I have not done any wrongdoing. I have done errors.
Do you think that should be investigated further?
I think if you find out that there are errors involved in the process, then you move along. And then as the results are ultimately finalized.
Have there been any irregularities here from what you've been reporting and seeing? So
not that I've seen. I think that they will probably end up finding a few votes here and there that we can pretty much break down and call clerical errors by clerks. These numbers are entered by hand. This is a very normal thing that happens every election cycle.
Software like this is installed in more than 30 states. If someone tampers with it, or it just malfunctions, then the wrong people can win elections. If that happens, hundreds of representatives, judges, and other officials may hold offices they are not elected to.
We know there was individual anomalies and issues and complaints, but there is also data flow, and I think we need to make sure that the integrity includes not only from the moment you fill in your paper ballot, but once you leave and you go home and we all start watching this information flow, that information is sound.
If you go to the Kentucky Board of Elections' own website, where everything looks normal, notice here in the URL bar, this is a Kentucky.gov website, and at the bottom, you can see this page is officially owned by the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Now, watch this. If you click on Kentucky election results and look at the URL bar, you see something very different. Notice it says clarityelections.com. If we inspect the elements of the page, we see that election night reporting was conducted by Seidel. If we scroll down and look, we see who owns the page, Seidel.us. Who is Seidel?
Un dinero, poquito.
There are people that are in favor of using internet voting since they think that it can improve the democratic process, for instance, e-participation that can enhance the decision-making of governments.
According to their client page, they tally the votes for the most prestigious elections worldwide, from the countries within the EU to the EU itself, to corporations like McDonald's and various state elections in the United States, such as Kentucky. McDonald's has their own elections? We literally have an offshore company counting our votes. Talk about foreign interference. Encryption is instrumental to electronic communication and financial transactions to protect the security of privacy and authentication. The development of digital ciphering led to the use of trap doors. A trap door strongly resists cryptanalysis by anyone not in possession of trap door information used in the design of the cipher. The fact that election data is being transmitted over the internet requires encryption. Therefore, the software and operating systems used by Seidel in the Kentucky election has encryption trapdoors, and whoever possesses the trapdoor and keying information has a backdoor into the system. This allows the designer to break the system after he has sold it to the client.
and yet falsely to maintain his reputation as a builder of secure systems, swaying the outcome in a favorable direction within a reasonable margin. This was evident in documents sent to me from a whistleblower regarding the Kentucky 2019 election. Forensic investigators who examined the leaked documents saw evidence that suggested manipulation of vote counts. However, due to encryption, the logs from the computers used to process the total vote counts would need to be seen to see if the totals were manipulated before being transmitted to the Board of Elections.
This is Millie Weaver. I just delivered to the governor's office documents that a whistleblower sent me on Friday alleging election fraud in Kentucky. These documents were so concerning that I decided to come down here and deliver it to the governor himself. Now that the governor has these documents, I hope that this will spark some kind of reaction and investigation into these very concerning documents that were leaked.
There is not any real sense of transparency with how the voting process works. And the more people look into this, and this is nothing new. HBO did a documentary on this 13 years ago, I think back in 2006. And what you're going to see is that we do not have checks and balances. And that whether you are a liberal or a conservative, whether you vote one way or the other, we should make sure that we have integrity in the election process when it's 100% digital and electronic, to make sure that people have confidence. Because if the people lose confidence in their ability to actually know that the vote they cast is the one that was tabulated for the person they intended it to be for, if we lose that ability, I don't care your ideology, we lose something in America that is the uniqueness of our nation.
All right, so I'm going to pause that right there because that's one of what that man just said is the key point. The reason why I wanted to play that particular deal was that with all this other stuff that we had mentioned about how, you know, gun control, gun confiscation, and all the different depleting of the rights and the things that you've been hearing about abuse of power, whether it be in the law enforcement or government agencies or in the Senate or the Congress or, you know, U.S. government in general. The last straw to literally break the camel's back, so to speak, would be when the American people completely lose all faith in their election cycle. So if you go to try to vote and you don't feel that your vote was counted, and all these other things compacted with each other, then you can see where that could actually be an ignition source. That would be that one spark that would send everything over the edge. There's been a lot of distrust in the government. There's been a lot of distrust in the law enforcement. There's been a lot of distrust in government agencies and definitely in the mainstream media. And year after year, this seems to escalate to the point where you hear more and more people talking and you hear more alternative media sources coming on the table. Folks just, they need to step back and they need to look at the big picture. They need to seriously pay attention to what's going on out here. Here in the United States, we have our own problems. Barry's going to be joining me in a while, and he said elections in Canada were rigged 100%. So even in Canada, they don't have faith in their election systems. This is a serious thing. We here in the United States are a representative republic, yet the senators and congressmen continuously call us a democracy when we're not. And so, when I say that people need to literally step back and look at all the factors that are at play in a potential ignition
of the second civil war here in the United States. I am serious. They really need to pay attention to what's going on. You know, you might get by with slapping the bee's nest, which apparently a lot of the senators and congressmen have gotten by with slapping the bee's nest. Go up there and test the waters. You know, slap the bee's nest, they come out and buzz around a little bit, but they don't really sting you and nothing goes wrong. But you're going to slap that bee's nest one time too many. And the American citizens are that bee's nest. They're the sleeping giant that if we're ever awakened, God help us all. You know, I like I said, I'm not a fear monger. I'm not into violence. I'm not advocating overthrowing the government. I'm not trying to, promote any rebellion or anything like that. I'm just trying to point out history and the facts. Because I can see the writing on the wall. There is, like the song said, a bad moon rising. And I don't think that these folks out there really get it. I don't think that they really understand. One of the people in the chat room, Chris Maresh, says it's all rigged, and that's the mindset that everyone feels today, that everything is rigged. Everything from alternative energy, free energy, to the medical industry, to the energy industry, you name it, all the different industries out there, governments, hand over fist making money off of buying and selling, whatever they can do. There's a movie out there with Nicolas Cage in there where he's selling weapons to both sides, both sides of a war. He's selling weapons. He's making money. The more there's a war, the more money he's making. And it's the same concept when it comes to the war on drugs. The war on drugs may very well be perpetuated by individuals within the system that are actually selling those drugs. Making millions off of it. So if you don't have faith in the system that is there supposedly to represent you, the people, then that reaches way past the levels of tyranny. And that's what the Second Amendment was there for. For just such an emergency that the government ever got so out of control that they were harming the people. And that the people would have the last stand if necessary. When all the talking's done, when all the negotiation, when all the trying to work things out peacefully, when the talking stops and the first shot heard around the world happens, there's no way of turning back from that point. So I'm trying to reach out to those patriots of the world, and I'm trying to reach out to those representatives of the world, and those even in the what I feel is the corrupt media of the world. Understand that when you open those doors, they can never be closed again. And when that happens, the world that you're accustomed to right now, if you're living in an ivory tower with your children and sending your children to private schools and all that kind of stuff, it's going away. Your cushy job, your finances, your funding, your bank account, everything that you hold dear is going away. We the people will be lucky to hold on to any of our personal effects. We'll have to fight. Unlike you can envision. Folks, go out and see that video series, Jericho. Please watch that series. It's only a fraction. It's only a fraction of what you would see if this all comes tumbling down. It's obvious that the people are not happy with the government. It's obvious that the media is not trusted by the people. And it's becoming more apparent that law enforcement, being as militarized looking as they are now, are not trusted either. Unfortunately for them, if this was to occur and they were just following orders, they wouldn't fare so well. The American people are not as peace-loving during those times when their family's at jeopardy. And you think about that, and you think about that real hard before you continue to slap the bee's nest. I don't know what more to say that than hasn't already been said. I want peace in the world. I want it. I want it bad. I want it for my children. And I want it for your children. I want it for the world. But the way these folks are actually going at this, the way that they're actually going about trying to bring forth their agenda, they're quite literally flirting with disaster. So with that said, I'm going to play a couple songs, and then I'm going to bring Barry on and get his take on the matter. I hope you stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Roundtable. I'm going to play two songs that I think are relevant. So you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we're talking about the constant slapping of the bee's nest, so to speak, the way that the senators and congressmen are constantly out there talking about going around rounding up firearms and throwing American citizens in jail and such. You know, I feel like that when they took that oath of office to serve and protect and uphold the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that whenever they get out there and they're actively speaking out against those rights, they're also in violation of their oaths and they should immediately be removed from office. That's my opinion on the matter. So with that said, I feel like right now that not just America but Canada as well, and probably a few other places, we'll just leave it at Canada and the United States for the moment because we're like neighbors. Anyway, we're at a crossroads right now. There's a lot going on in both of these nations that could be a sparking point that would unlock some things that I'm sure that the people don't really want. And so with that said, I'm joined by Barry and Duke. How are you two doing today?
Good,
Jesus. That's good to hear you, and I'm apologizing on air for not being on Duke's show yesterday. Apologize for that. Granddaughter's 9th birthday party, you know, that's an important thing. I just totally forgot, and we'll make it up to you.
You don't have to worry about it. I'm sure Duke will get you in there next week or the week after and just set up a time, and I know his audience would love to hear from you.
Yeah, I need to make me a sticky note so I remember.
Don't you worry about it, buddy. I'll be the first one to tell you that family comes first.
Yep, it's really important, and I think that's why we do what we do here. So, what do you think?
Well, my audience will tell you, I repeatedly point out to them that my little 5-year-old granddaughter who sleeps right above my studio is why I do what I do. And the fact that someday she's going to have a little 5-year-old granddaughter. That's why I do what I do.
Yep.
Well, it's why we all do it, Duke. I mean, we're all in the same
exactly.
boat.
Exactly.
We all love our family. We all see what's coming. And we're all fighting it as much as we can. And whether we get to another generation, that's a big question, you know, because, sure, you know, we have political crap going on all over the world right now, but, you know, nations have rose and nations have fallen. But the earth has always been there to support life, and that to me is something that is of great concern to me, the ability of this planet to sustain life going forward here in the next 10, 15 years, if we have that much time. And I base that not on fear, I base that on studies I do constantly on the effects of our environment, what's going on in our oceans, what's going on with our food, what's going on with every aspect of growth on the planet seems to be deteriorating or under attack. And what are we going to be looking at 10 years down the road from now? If this continues on the way it is right now, are we going to have an ability to sustain life on this planet? Sure, we're all involved in fighting against the tyranny and these bad boys behind the curtains. But I do focus a lot of my attention on trying to expose to people exactly how much trouble the planet's in.
Well, I kind of feel that a lot of the bad guys behind the curtains are also involved in those debacles as well when it comes to the Food and Drug Administration and the medical industry and the fuel and energy industries as well. You know, corporate greed and so on down the line, not to mention the corruption that we see blatantly in not just my country, but yours as well. I mean, in your face, violating their oath of office, basically talking about taking away your rights and imprisoning people if they don't comply. You know, that's not representation. You know, the mainstream media.
We're seeing the exact same agenda being played out everywhere we look in the G7 world right now.
Yeah.
Mostly the G7, but anywhere we look, we see the exact same agenda. We now have the Canadian government ramping up the attack on guns. They're going to end up trying to take them all away in the very near future. We see it in the United States of America. We know that Britain disarmed their citizens, and look at the mess they're in right now. They have no ability to defend themselves against all the people in their society that are outright killing them, slaughtering them on the streets. I mean, if you had concealed carry in England, and a few of these incidents that we've read about here in the last couple of weeks of stabbings on bridges, constant attacks, constant every day you read about a stabbing for a murder going on in the UK. They have no way of defending themselves. Is that what we're going to allow happen in our country? Well, that's where they're taking it.
Well, there's a lot of people that think that, you know, you take away all those weapons that you're going to bring about peace, but they're sadly mistaken, sorely mistaken, because...
Mao took the gun, Stalin took the gun, Hitler took the gun, Chavez took the gun, they all took the gun, and what happened?
Wait a minute. Our prisons are full of people that our law enforcement agencies can't keep guns away from, and yet we're supposed to give up ours willingly?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Sorry, Vern, that don't make sense.
That's the thing right there. And, you know, what's crazy about it is that, like I said, you have average citizens out there advocating for the same and actively working behind the scenes. I mentioned election fraud because election fraud is really a key point, a possible trigger, because if you already... The people don't trust the government. The people are losing their faith in law enforcement. They sure don't believe the media any longer. That's why all these alternative medias are popping up. And so the further this goes along, I mean, the straw that broke the camel's back would be that, you know, it comes out, I mean, irrefutable evidence that an election was flat out stolen from the American people. Or even Canadians for that matter. I mean, we're kind of like in the same boat, you know. Maybe we got a few different things going on at any given time, but for the most part, we're neighbors, and what happens over there and happens here, it affects both of us, you know, because it could spill over from either direction. You see what I'm saying?
Well, we're connected at the hip, to shoot this.
Yeah.
And anything that happens in the United States is going to have tremendous ripple-down effects on Canada. It's inevitable. We're tied to the dollar. We're really involved. People don't see it, but we're involved with America just as much as they're involved with us.
Yeah.
What we saw in Canada here was this last election. Well, if the Bloc Party in Quebec hadn't got the seats that they did in that election, then the Liberals would have had another majority government in Canada. Yet you talk to any Canadian prior to the election, and 9 out of 10 would give you the answer, we want to hang this guy. So how did he get back in? Tell me that wasn't metal. Tell me they weren't playing with the machines. We already know that some of this stuff has come out. And when people try to investigate it, because I know a few people that are trying to investigate this, they completely get stonewalled by Election Canada. So what's going on there? Can you say fascism?
Yeah, well, fascism doesn't work so well, does it?
So, that's what we're at.
You know,
Barry, you showed up. You gave your own answer to your question, Barry. How can this happen? Machines.
Of course I don't. I knew that. I was answering my question. Go ahead.
The machines are how this can happen.
Click, click, click. And we have no way. The problem is, I talked to a couple people, and one guy that I know here in Canada, I won't mention his name, but he's really intelligence, he's into the intelligence end of what's going on in Canada. And he says, you know what, they set it up so that you cannot check their checks or their number of counts on the votes. It's like, what kind of society is that when we're trusting machines to be fair, when the machines are being controlled by entities like George Soros and the Tides Foundation? They've got their fingers, and they own the companies that make these machines. So tell me there's not a little bit of fixing going on. I mean, you got to be a complete idiot to believe that they aren't rigging these elections.
Yeah.
It's in our face, so what do we do about it?
Well, I'm pretty much the same deal. Once the folks don't have faith in those elections, you know, hey, the straw that broke the camel's back. But the warning that I'm trying to put across to people, because I'm a peace lover, I am a hardcore peace lover at heart. I don't want violence. I don't want all this stuff. But you got to pay attention, people out there that are in seats of power, and people out there that are in positions, government, representation or whatever. You better pay attention, because this next go-around as far as a armed conflict here in the United States isn't going to be pretty, and it's just going to destroy what's left of this nation. I guarantee you will never, ever see it come back. It will not. This will be a wasteland for here to go. I mean, You think that
their end game plan.
You talk about the Middle East being constantly for 2,000 years or more, you know, out there constantly battling. That's what the United States is going to become if this happens, and it would spill over into not just Canada, but more than likely Mexico as well, vice versa, you know. And I'm just saying, you're getting ready to open up Pandora's box, and once that box is open, you're not going to be happy with the outcome. These folks might think that, like in the movie Jericho, the series Jericho, that they're going to rush in like the saviors and bring about order, but that's not going to play out the way you think it is. That's the movies. You're talking about a situation now where the American people ain't the same breed of people that they were back in the day, where, you know, they were peace lovers and tried to, you know, just get by. There's some changes been made. There's some Vietnam's been happening. There's some Iraq's and Afghanistan's. There's some gangs. There's a lot of hatred that you stirred up. There's a whole lot of bees' nests that have been slapped simultaneously.
Three generations of post-secondary education brainwashing that's been going on.
Yep.
Can we step back to Kent State University?
Yep.
I'm sorry, folks, but the history is written on the wall. If you open your eyes and look at it, it's repeating itself.
Yep, but this time I don't think that they're not going to fare so well. It's going to backfire with the vengeance. I mean, when you talk about unleashing the dragon on this world, that's the one right there. You know, I don't want a third world war. I don't want a second civil war. I don't want none of this stuff. That's why I reach out here and try to grab the ears of those out there with common sense and a good heart and want to make this world a better place. I don't like talking about this stuff. I've served my country. I've served my country in so many different aspects and so many different ways for most of my entire life. I've done my duty, and I'm still trying to do my duty. I would still stand up and preserve the Constitution. I'd still stand up for my family and my nation. I love my country. I love the people in my country. I love the people in other countries. I'm more weary, and I'm tired. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon, and it will forever scar my soul. It will forever put a dent in my spirit. And because I've been there, I've seen things that I've seen, and I know what I know, I want to reach out there and throw the warning flag down and say, hey, let's take a breather, let's get sorted out, because if this breaks loose, it's not going to be what you think. And those bunkers that they spent years building for themselves, they're not going to help. It's not going to help, folks. I don't want to see this. We're talking about literal hell on earth that will domino across the face of this world that we live in. And it just ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it. Once a man tasted freedom...
Go ahead, Duke. Go ahead, Duke.
No, go ahead, Barry.
Well, all I was going to say is I think me and Duke are in full agreement with what you just said. And I don't like talking about this stuff. I don't. But it's real, and it's in our face. And a lot of people are still blind to it. And we have to bring this information forward. What they do with it is up to them. If they can look themselves in the mirror and say, I'm not going to do anything about this, I'm going to just continue to let things go the way they are, then I've said it many times on your show that your children are going to end up cursing you at one point in the future. Because there is going to be a trigger. And, you know, I want peace on earth. I don't want to see people die. I don't want to see people suffer. But realistically, I've got to look at everything that's building right now. All of the pieces that are being put into place to implement a one world government, how they're putting us into a cashless situation in society, how they could really turn the world upside down with one trigger. That, of course, is the financial breakdown of society. They control the money, and when you control the money, you control society. So what are people going to do when all financial institutions collapse? There is total chaos breaks out in society. It's like Duke said prior to coming on the show, they could add another little attack of some kind to really, really throw people into a state of chaos. And you know, and I know that when people's minds are in a state of chaos, they'll basically do everything that it takes to alleviate the scream in their brain. So law enforcement, the governments have come with the solution. Problem reaction solution, they have used it over and over again in history. It's effective, They know how society is going to react when they implement this absolute tyranny in our society. When they implement that, they know how society is going to react. And of course, they're going to come along with a solution. Unfortunately, a great deal of people that are still inside the Matrix are going to go along with the plan.
Yep, they'll say they're just doing their job. And that's sad, because it's their family on the line, too.
We only have to look at recent history to see how, for lack of a better moniker or name to apply to it / them, the left is the propagator or instigator of civil unrest, and then the left is the one who comes forward and says, look, we have a solution to the problem that you don't know we created. And people flock to the solution only to find out that they've been tricked into slavery. One name pops to mind, Che Guevara. It's exactly what happened there. The forces that created the chaos were the very same forces who came forward to resolve and end the chaos, because they started it, they can end it.
Of course. I mean, all wars for the last 200 years have been funded by the bankers on both sides. We know that the CIA is directly involved in forming terrorist organizations, so they have an enemy to go fight. It's the same game that's being played over and over and over on us, and people just, I don't know what's wrong with people, why they can't see it, and why they don't speak against it. So many people are silent on this issue.
Well, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, are basically waking up and seeing, you know, the writing on the wall, but the fact is it's not the majority of people. There's more people out there so incredibly distracted with all the shiny things and the fun things and the bread and circus, and they're not realizing, you know, while you're sitting there listening to, you know, a liberal person on there talking about going around and rounding up guns, and you have actual people in that particular crowd clapping and saying, yay, you know, okay. No, it ain't going to be yay, folks.
Keep them distracted. Keep them entertained, Shazuz, and they won't look at what's going on.
Yeah.
They use that so effectively in our society. We talk lots of times about the divisions in our society and how we are divided. And some of them are so subtle you don't recognize them as a division, but they are. And we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves to even look at what's really going on.
Yeah.
And of course, now in today's world, both parents have got to be working to pay the bills. When you have one person working in a house in this economy of this country, you're in big trouble. I know Duke will attest to that. You know, it's tough.
Yeah,
both Canadians are on the verge of bankruptcy.
There are folks actively like George Soros out there, has a lot of money, maybe too much money and too much time on his hands, and has some sort of view for the future or something like that. And so he spends his money to help destabilize nations. And the mere fact, I don't care if it was just one single individual, the mere fact that the Georgia Guidestones has numbers on there that way, way, way underrepresent the full, numbers of the population of the world, that means a whole lot of people got to go down. A whole lot of people. And do you think that you're one of the lucky... You think that you're one of the lucky few that's going to be spared that, you know, when it comes time? You think about all the things, times that you and I spoke out against and Duke spoke out against the corruption that we see out there. We're probably already on the list, you know. That's not a conspiracy. I mean, if you're going to do something terrible to, you know, your people, you're going to try to know ahead of time which ones are going to comply and which ones ain't going to comply. Does that make sense?
Well, if I'm not on the list, then I'm not doing something right.
Yeah.
I know if we're on the list.
If any of your listeners, Shaziz, if any of your listeners think for 1 minute that your state government, your federal government here in Canada, your provincial or federal governments don't have a list of domestic quote-unquote Tommy Robinsons that they know they're going to have to shut up and silence, if you don't think that list exists, put your head back in the sand and continue being an ostrich.
Yep, that's it.
believe me, what's his name on Will from, I think it's United America or something like that. He's got his own, he's a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Black fella, goes to all the rallies. I love watching his shows when I have time. But if you don't think for 1 minute that his name isn't on the same list that Alex Jones and Tommy Robinson are on, wake up and smell the coffee, folks. It's a Starbucks morning.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. You know, there was a conspiracy theory a while back where there was actually the deal where, like, when the census worker or somebody comes around and tries to, you know, ask you questions that aren't even related to the census, and you would give them trash about it or whatever, well, they would put a different color sticker on your mailbox. And of course, I didn't really think a whole lot about it, and it could have been, you know, just some other thing going on at the time. But anyway, the according to the color, that would be what your rating would have been for, you know, emergency or whatever. And so one day I was heading out to my mailbox, and by golly, I saw one of those doggone stickers on my mailbox. And this was during the time when I was listening to Alex Jones and talking on the radio show and talking about, you know, all the conspiracy theories and, you know, one world government kind of issues and stuff. And so, you know, to this day, it still boggles my mind who stuck that sticker there and why and what it represented. You see what I mean?
Oh, I see. I see it happening to a lot of people, and they don't know it.
Yeah, we have times, literally, where our website actually has issues that are not normal issues, that I feel like we're actually under attack. I actually, even on one of the deals, I posted a deal of the server where we were under attack. We got our doggone streams interfered with and everything. I got things set up a little bit differently now, so it's a lot harder for them to basically get to me, but not impossible. But nonetheless, it was always during certain subjects, like the ones we're talking about here today. Anytime we talked about, you know, anything that, you know, you'd hear out there in the alternative media that the mainstream media classifies as controversial, we had those issues. And so there comes a point when it can't be coincidence anymore, you know, and the sticker on the mailbox, that kind of thing. So I'm positive that, you know, there's folks out here that listen in that they know my point of view on there. I'm always advocating peace, but that doesn't mean just because I advocate peace, it might be I have a voice that's dangerous that they don't want to be out there trying to rally the troops, so to speak. Don't fall for their shenanigans is what I say. And so, you know, I give them advice like, you know, don't react the way that they expect you to react, because they've done years of research and they know that when they do certain things, heck, if they want to sell guns, the fastest way for them to sell guns to American people is to talk about gun control. You see what I mean?
Well, I just saw a report that there was like 400,000 guns sold during the Black Friday sales all across the country.
Don't surprise
me. Keep talking about gun control. The NRA loves you.
Yeah.
Wow, I'd like to see that report, because that's more than one gun for every citizen in the United States of America, and they've already got probably anywhere between 400 to 500 million guns in private ownership in the United States of America right now. So if that's the case, Duke, they know something we don't know.
Well, I
don't know, Barry.
I ain't going to.
400,000 guns, that would be one for every 100,000 people with 400 million in the United States.
I ain't gonna give no numbers or no names, but I know people who know people who know people who are basically stocked up and ready to roll for just such an emergency that they decide that they're going to go around and try to disarm the American people. And I don't remember which Asian general said one time that the only reason why they don't consider a land invasion of the USA is because there would be a gun behind every blade of grass, and that's an understatement. You know, and you're not talking about the same mentality that you would have been back during the Civil War. These people are already ready to fight, literally, and they're teaching the kids how to fight.
Shaziz, I'll tell you, a friend of mine has a hunting camp in West Virginia, up in the mountains in West Virginia, and their gun safe would probably put the National Guard of West Virginia to shame.
It don't surprise me none. But here's the thing.
They're all legally owned guns, yeah. But oh my God, what an arsenal.
But here's the thing, dude. Here's the thing. These representatives out there and the government and the media, they started this. They're the ones that are responsible for the people believing that they had the need to stock up. Because of all the things that they kept on saying to us. Oh, everybody's getting shot up. The schools are getting shot up. The world's so terrible. Constantly telling us every single day, there's a shooting, there's a shooting, there's a shooting, there's a shooting. Now, if I'm a citizen and I still have the right to keep and bear arms and you're talking about disarming me, oh no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to stock up because I think the apocalypse is happening right now. This is they're responsible. They hold all the cards, all the responsibility for the information that led these people to be either paranoid or ready to fight, or even to the extent of being hardcore doomsday preppers. They put that information on the table. They put the fear in the hearts of the American people, and when that happened, the American people responded. And you just mentioned some numbers a minute ago about how many guns were sold on Black Friday. Well, what did you expect? Don't tell me you're coming after my family and then turn around and expect me to stand there and not do nothing about it. That's what the American people think.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, what's going on in Canada right now better get people's attention real quick, because they're going to completely disarm Canadians at the end game. They'll do that probably in the next couple of years.
Well, they might get a surprise, because
United Nations Small Arms Agreement.
I've been listening to some Canadians talking a lot here lately and throughout the last couple years, and they're a little bit fed up, and probably a lot more than a little bit fed up. They're on edge, and so I don't think that the modern day Canadian is going to fall for shenanigans like that. I think that if it may very well be in Canada when the first shot's fired. We don't know, but I'm hoping it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, you can't keep pushing people back to the wall. You can't keep
applaud the French for what they did this week, the amount of people that hit the street. You don't see that in Canada. I can't remember a demonstration of any size against the government, really, with the exception of some of the convoys and other things that have gone on. It is really hard to get Canadians involved. So
well,
why
for
is that?
The most part, I why would say you folks are mostly peace loving folks. You're not wanting to get out there and ride
Canadians
in the streets.
Canadians are apathetic.
Huh?
Canadians are apathetic. We have been in such a comfort zone all our lives that it's really hard for people to even look at some of the stuff that is happening. They don't want to look at it. They figure somebody else will look after the problem for them.
Well, unfortunately,
they see it all the time.
Unfortunately, for those kind of people, I would say that if it starts over here, it will spill over into there, because there will be people trying to get to Canada in order to get away from what's going on down here, just as well as they would probably be trying to get into Mexico to get away from what's going on down here, and vice versa. There will be those people.
If all hell breaks loose there, there will be martial law in Canada.
I'll tell you straight up, guys, there are people here in Canada who are going to want to get into the U.S.
Yep.
With a destination like Minneapolis, Minnesota, Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah. And
think of the immigrant populations in those cities, and there are a whole bunch of their, shall we say, Muslim brethren.
Oh, yeah.
Not brotherhood, because the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't exist in North America. Ask our government.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a whole bunch of their brethren here in Canada who are going to flock to cities like Minneapolis and Dearborn and Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the enclave is on.
Yeah, I'm saying we need to nip it in the bud before it ever even gets started, because they're playing with something worse than fire. You know, this is actually, to me, more scary than a nuclear conflict, because at least that's quick and painless. But you talked about something that we just mentioned there from three different directions and probably end up worldwide before it was all over with. I think the third civil war would quite literally start on the grounds of U.S. soil. And
well, we should maybe throw the biblical prophecy of the Antichrist into the equation.
How does that
play into what we see going on right now? How is it setting us up for a one world government?
Well,
one world order. It is being set up in front of our eyes.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least if that wouldn't play out, and that would be the person that comes on the deal and says, "I'm going to bring about peace and." And, you know, everybody, you know, believes the lie, and you've got to be careful when people come and say, "I'm bringing peace," because did you ever see the movie Mars Attacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as they come there and said they could come in peace, they started shooting.
I spent years as a bouncer in bars, and the guy you worry about in a bar fight isn't the one standing there jumping up and down with his fists out in front of him screaming and yelling. The guy you worry about is the guy 2 feet over to his left who's just standing there watching everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's the one who's going to walk up and cold cock you when you least expect it.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens in military conflicts.
He's going to break it up, right?
Yeah. He's going to end it.
Yeah. That's
and
the whole
he's going to decide who's the winner.
But then
you not the two combatants. The third guy who walks in and says, "You're both idiots," and smacks your head together.
Yep.
And leaves you both on the floor. He walks away the winner.
Yep. So
yeah, you don't worry about the 6'4", 240-pounder. You worry about the guy that's 5'7" and 150 pounds.
So then you got to think about loyalties. Who's going to be loyal to who? You know, how large of the military is going to stand with their own people? How many of them's actually going to say they were just doing their job, or in the law enforcement, or even in the government for that matter? Government's already basically showed their true colors because of all the things that they've done to violate their oath of office. I mean, it's blatantly obvious, and not to mention trying to cover up for all their criminal activities in order to stay in power so that they can keep each other out of jail and such. But I think we're reaching a boiling point, and that's what I fear the most, that when it boils, it's over, man. You folks, if you're paying attention, you better keep your eyes and ears wide open, because these folks out here, they think the ends justify the means, and they have terminology such as collateral damage. And if you think you aren't part of that, you're not expendable, you might be fooling yourself, because even those in the seats of power, they'll roll each other underneath the bus just to get over the top of the next one. It's sickening, I'm telling you. It's not funny, Barry, but how can you not laugh at such a mess? It's insane. What do you think, Duke?
Well, I keep telling my audience, for those of your audience that don't know, I do live broadcasts every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the last 3 years on YouTube and Facebook, and I've been telling my audience for quite some time now that we, meaning those of us in the know, aware and awake, and there's a difference between awake and aware, and awake, because lots of people hit the snooze alarm, yell at their mom, "I'm awake," and are right back asleep. Okay, that's going on in our society. We have to accept that. I keep telling people that we need to be like the captain of the lifeboats around the Titanic. For those who remember the movie, the unsinkable Molly Brown stood in the lifeboat screaming, "We have to go back and save them." And the captain of the lifeboat said, if we go back in there, they're going to swamp us and kill us all. I hate to say it, folks, but the time is coming when we have to decide who's gonna be in your lifeboat and how many can you take care of.
Yeah, that's just mind-blowing.
I hate to say that. I'm not looking forward to this. I have 87-year-old father and 83-year-old mother. I know without a shadow of a doubt they're not in any shape to deal with what's coming.
Nope.
But I have to accept that. As a society, we're going to have to accept that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are on medication that won't be able to get it during times of utter chaos like that, you know, and things will just drop off. You know, there's a lot of people reliant on the government to the extent right now where they expect to get paid every month for, you know, pensions or, food stamps or medical stuff, and that all is coming to a close. If these folks out there that keep pushing, they're going to keep a slap in the bee's nest, and you got to be careful what you wish for, because you might actually get it. And when you get it, it may not be what you want. I'm trying to say this out of the kindness of my heart, out of love for my family and everyone else, is that I don't want to see this come down, but you got to use some wisdom. If there was ever any time to be, an advocate of peace and being out there trying to promote, some common sense, open dialogue with one another, this is the time right now. And
gentlemen, I don't mean to bail on you here, but I've got to sneak off for a minute. My daughter and granddaughter need me upstairs for about 5 minutes.
Okay,
if you don't mind, I've just got to sneak off and be grandpa for a few minutes.
We're fine. Take care of the family.
Before I run away, I want to point out to everyone in an address to what you said just a minute ago, Shaziz, about loving everyone and getting along with everyone. We as adults, as free men and women, we have to accept the fact that in our world there are bullies.
Yep.
And you can't stand there passively taking punches from a bully and expect to be unaffected.
Yep.
You can't hug a bully who is holding a knife and will stab you in the back.
Yep.
Having said that, I'm going to dip out for a second. I'll be right back in a few minutes, guys. I apologize to the audience.
You know, see, but my point is this, is that we're up against the bully right now. It's not the bully that I'm worried about. It's the people that are against each other that need to slow down and wake up and see the writing on the wall before, all heck breaks loose. Because it's too late to fix it once it happens. It's too late to go back. Once you open up Pandora's box, you got to think about it. Here in the United States, there's all kinds of different gangs. There's all kinds of different organizations. There's all kinds of different groups, even secret societies for that matter. There's differences in the military. There's difference in the law enforcement. There's a division like anything that we've ever seen in the history of this nation. And who is going to stick with who is questionable. They're probably, people allying with each other. The biker gang with the Crips and Bloods. Who would have ever thought, but who knows? When it's all every man for himself, every man, woman, and child for themselves, you'd be surprised. That's why I suggest go watch that doggone video series, Jericho, and see what kind of world that you have coming towards you, and that would just be a fraction of what I see coming down the road. What do you think, Barry?
I don't know if we can stop what's coming or not. I think the most important thing we can do is to try to educate people, to prepare them mentally and spiritually for what's coming.
Well, the thing is, I can still hope.
Instead, I believe when the hammer comes down, and, I'm not a fear-mongering type of person. I don't consider myself a person that uses fear to get people's attention or to make my point. But I honestly believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a trigger coming. And I know how that's going to affect society. So I think the most important thing we can do right now is just to make people aware of it so that they can deal with it when it does happen.
Yeah.
I believe it will happen. It's just a matter of when they want to bring all hell loose on the planet. And they have the means to do that. You got to remember that. They also, you know, we talk about this a lot, but they have technology that's years ahead of what we actually know. And then we look at what they're doing with directed energy weapons. We look at what they're doing with frequency weapons. The chemicals that are being put into our body, a lot of them we're not aware of. What effect those weapons would have on chemicals in the human body. I mean, that's a deep rabbit hole to go down, but you being a scientific kind of guy, as you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I believe, and I've said this many times, I believe that when the time comes, they might, and I think there's a good possibility, that they do have a toy set aside that will make guns totally obsolete. And well, if we think about that for a minute, that's kind of a scary thought, but I honestly believe
it don't surprise me in the least, because the technology that we know of and the technology that actually exists is probably apples and oranges, but nonetheless, the people that are behind the scenes doing this kind of stuff, they know that conversations like this are taking place. They know that they're slapping the bee's nest. And so, unless you think you got an ace in the hole, such as what they might think they have in the background, then you might want to not slap the bee's nest.
Because we don't want to go to armed confrontation. I've said that so many times because I honestly believe that they plan. You know, these people sit in think tanks 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they knew exactly where we would be as a society today based on the things that they were going to change. A little here, a little there. Everything has changed in our food, our diet. Everything they have done has absolutely demoralized the human spirit. They've got us to a point now where we're basically, we're almost a zombie apocalypse. They put that movie out to make us laugh. But what these people do, they put out in entertainment what's going to happen in the future. People laugh at it. We could talk about multiple instances of that.
Yep.
But really, you talked about, you hit it on the head there about 15 minutes ago when you said, if the American government does collapse and the supply of psychotropic drugs dries up to the 36 million, I believe, right now, Americans that are on some form of psychotropic or antidepressant, if you take those drugs away from those people, the effects that will have on that population group is going to blow people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
I studied it. The effects of withdrawal from these drugs is just something that I wouldn't wish my worst enemy to go through. And you're talking about 36 million Americans all of a sudden having the source dry up.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And they're already.
You better have a gun.
They're already on edge. And I'm telling you, there's a different breed of people living in America today. It's not like what it used to be, because some of these folks out here, they'll fight at the drop of the hat. Heck, they'll fight at the color of a hat. They don't care. They're nuts. You know, you're going to put a whole bunch of crazy people on the streets without their meds and access to an unimaginable amount of firepower?
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, come
scary
on.
Scenario. It's a very scary scenario, but it's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, because I don't like to talk about this kind of stuff because I think about it a lot. I have to think about it because I look at all the possible ways that they're going to bring society to their knees. And that is just one of the multiple things that will happen when society hits the financial crunch
and
government's bankrupt.
If they're doing it because they're just stupid, that's bad enough.
They're not stupid.
If they're doing it because it's fully intentional, which I believe, that's even worse. You know?
Well, of course it's intentional, because I believe everything that's happening right now is thought about and planned. I mean, you look at everything that they're doing right now in society, you show me one thing that the powers to be, we call them the powers to be, are doing that's beneficial to the human being.
Nothing.
To the soul, to our health. Name me one thing.
Nothing.
And I'd be very, very surprised. I don't see anything positive. All I see is negative, negative, negative.
Well, I can pull one positive out of there, and it's an unexpected result, is they're pulling a lot of people together that otherwise probably would not have come together had it not been up for all the shenanigans. Because
yeah,
there's a whole lot more... Whole lot more alternative energy, alternative everything out there, alternative media out there than there ever was before. And this thing we call the internet right here, whereas it could be our worst enemy, it also could very well be our best friend as well, depending on how it's used. And so advocating violence on the internet is not a good thing for many, many reasons. But, you know, you gotta understand your words are powerful, and those words can incite all kinds of reactions in the population, not just in this nation, but in every other nation that listens in. And so that's why I keep reaching out and saying, hey, peace and love, peace and love. I know we're up against a beast here. I know that chances are it's coming whether we like it or not. But I'm in hopes that the words that come out of our mouths will inspire those people to not react the way that the system expects them to react. You know, you've all been profiled. They know your beliefs. They know your family. They know your friends. Especially if you're on Facebook. You done told them about your entire life. You know, and you give them permission to share that information with other agencies. And not even that, not even just that, but the fact that they've been caught red-handed literally spying on the American citizens. And spying worldwide, for that matter. They don't just listen in on our conversations. You think if they got the access to the cool tools that they're going to, you know, not listen in on something that's going on in Canada or Ireland or Scotland or England or Russia or China or Japan, Mexico, anywhere? You think that they're not going to listen? They want to know. The information is the game right now. Information is the power. And some more information they can get. They know who's where, what they're doing. They know where they're going. There's cameras in every single face of every single nation. You look around you. I challenge each and every one of you. Go out there and see how many cameras you can count in one day that are looking at you. Not even counting the one that's in your hand when you're sitting there talking on the phone or in front of your computer. You think about it. You think about all the different control mechanisms that they use and that they're sitting there actively listening in on your conversations, you know, and basically spying on you via your medical records, your criminal records, your purchases that you make at the store. And I'm not even scratching the surface. I haven't even got started on many other subjects in which they're involved in. So, with all that said, you really think that these entities out there have your best interest at heart? Yeah, if you do, you're fooling yourself. You know, you're playing Pokemon Go and you're helping them map out the terrain. If you watch here in the United States, they got these roundabouts popping up everywhere. What the heck we need roundabouts for? Looks like a good spot to put a checkpoint to me. But hey, I'm just a conspiracy nut, right? But you know, if you got any common sense, you can see the writing on the wall. You can listen to past experiences of others and things like what happened during Katrina, what happened after 9/11, all the different like the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, and the ways that they set it up so that if a worst case scenario came down, that you didn't have any rights. Heck, the Border Patrol is 100 miles in from the border.
Let's see your papers, old man.
Yeah, they're not even on the border. They're out there asking American citizens, are you a citizen? And when American citizens get offended by it, why aren't you on the border? Why are you 100 miles away from the border? Think about it.
Let's see, 1937 Germany, you had the exact same thing happening.
Yeah. It's insanity. It's insanity on a biblical proportion. I mean, people got to wake up. They really got to wake up. The spying, you know, facial recognition, the groping at the airport.
National ID card.
That's one I was trying to remember earlier. You got to have a national ID card. The Real ID Act, where it has a little star on your driver's license. If you ain't got that star, and here in my state, you have to specifically request it. But if you don't specifically request it, by 2020, if you ain't got that star on there, you're not getting on an airplane, and you're not going into a government office. Imagine that. You're being punished for not accepting something. Does that sound familiar?
Well, just force the general population to conform, whether they like it or not.
That's it. Get control of your food, get control of your water, get control of your defense.
Money is coming next, guys. We're going to be a cashless society in 3 years, mark my words.
Yeah, they're already almost halfway into that deal there because everything is credit card, debit card now. And, you know, they're still accepting cash at this point, but there's going to come a day they'll probably use disease control for a reason why not to accept cash, because you can't hand somebody your money. You might give them a germ or something like that. So there are ways that they'll sneak it in.
Can we say Mark of the Beast?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, of course, you know, they're going to get a society to a digital state. When we gone, when our society goes cashless, we have lost it. No way of regaining any sense of control of society.
If the American citizens fall for that, if they really...
They are. They're being sold with a new cool thing to do, man.
Don't have to
carry a wallet. Yeah. I can open the door, just boom. I can go to the store and go boom.
Yeah, having chip parties.
They're going to gobble it up.
They're having chip parties where they're actually getting the microchip put in their hand so they can have those conveniences. But the problem is, you mark my words, as it's already been said, you know, the moment you say something against your government or you make the wrong person mad, to this right now, at this exact moment, if you say the wrong thing and you make the wrong person mad, they have the power to destroy your life. That's scary. Now imagine you got a digital bank account and suddenly you said the wrong thing. Bam, it's shut off. You ain't going to be able to buy, sell, or trade without that. Does that sound familiar?
Exactly what's coming to this. It's being set up, and if you don't see it and you're not paying attention, then you really, really are doing yourself a disservice. We look at India, it has gone 90. I just looked at the reports on India. They're 93% to 94% cashless now. It's all being done with biometric. Sweden has announced that by summer of next year, Sweden will be a cashless society.
Man.
We're seeing being propped up and sold around the world right now, and people buy it, and they allow society to get to that point where everything we've done, everything we're doing, is monitored on a computer. They'll know when you take a dump in the bathroom, and they'll know how many pieces of toilet paper you use, and whether you pay your taxes on that. That's where we're going.
Well, not to mention that, the censorship is ramping up. It's blatantly obvious how much censorship is actually taking place right now. And, you know...
That's going to ramp up like crazy in the next little while, guys. Mark my words.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to shut us down. And that day is coming.
Yeah, it's that's the whole thing. And, you know, like I say, once America falls, I mean, I hate to keep trying to make America sound all important and everything, but it kind of is because...
It's the last beacon of freedom in the world.
Yeah.
If you take down America, the rest of the world will be a piece of cake.
Yep. Once that happens, you ain't got no more... Well, you'll still have rebels for as long as they can last out, but...
Well, just think about that. Oh, by the way, the United States is the most vaccinated country in the world. We are using more GMOs than any other countries in the world. Other countries have banned glyphosate. We're spraying it everywhere.
Well,
what's going on there, guys? That's all happening.
You know what Bill Gates said openly in public, that if we do a good job with vaccines, we can reduce the population of the world. And I'm like, hold on a second. Vaccines are supposed to be helping people, not reducing population. You know, he said that.
We don't have to get into the vaccine conversation because that will be about a 3-hour show.
Did y'all get my message?
The vaccines, it's just absolute insanity what's going on.
Did y'all get my message in Skype?
Well, when I grew up, Shaziz, I had every disease that a child could ever have. You know that?
Dang.
I had mumps, measles, chicken pox, you name it, I had it. Whooping cough, I had them all. And now my body has a very, very good immune system. Natural immune buildup, and that's necessary in the development of the human body. What they're doing with vaccines, attacking the genome, it's an artificial implement being put into our body. It's just so insane what they're doing with vaccines. The correlation between the rise in childhood diseases is undeniable, and yet it continues. And it drives me insane. It really does.
Yep. Did you get my message in Skype?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I need to step out for a minute.
Out. Just tell the world.
Duke, say something.
Luke's got his mic muted.
Duke,
the mic. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to sit here and scare everybody doom and gloom and all that.
There we go. I forgot that I had this muted. I opened the screen and forgot to unmute my microphone. I've been sitting here for a minute and I forgot. Sorry about that.
We've been
that.
Yelling at you for the last
Yeah, minute. I'm going to leave you with the microphone for a second if that's safe because I got a, you know, coffee break real quick.
Go ahead. What do you think, Duke?
Ooh, that's a scary thought, Barry. What I think? Dude, come on, I think things that scare you, and you're pretty open-minded. I firmly believe that a whole lot of things. People who think cryptocurrency is where we need to go, they're fooling themselves. All you have to do is look at history. Currency is nothing more than a exchange of the barter system, and when you exchange the barter system in imaginary entities, it's no longer the barter system. It's pretend time. And that's what cryptocurrency is. As quick as they give it to you, they who give it can take it away. Cryptocurrency is a joke.
Well, everybody's being led into it, and it's just a setup. It really is.
I think cryptocurrency and the propaganda behind it is one of the greatest thrashing machines that ever crossed our land because it separates the chaff, the idiots who believe in fake, electronically created, invisible currency value. They are the people willing to put value to a valueless object or entity. Let them do that. Let them openly identify themselves. Let them climb on the Pied Piper's parade float, because he's going to lead them right off the cliff and I won't have to deal with them.
Yeah, but we've got to think about the ripple down effect in society. When we get to
what society is going to be left, Barry? We are being led into the Hunger Games.
Okay, what society is going to be left? What's going to be left of civilization?
That's a good question.
What's left is what we will build when it's done, Barry. That's why all of this talk about whether, and it applies around the world, from Chile to China to Canada, all this talk about sovereignty and we the people, it's not going to stop what's coming. Hopefully, it's going to infuse the knowledge into those who will survive what's coming, and they can build what we thought we have had all along. The illusion that we have had, the existence that we have been led to believe we have, my hope is that those who survive what's coming will be able to have the knowledge to build that illusion into a reality.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, building the best out of a bad situation, I guess. I mean, I hate to think that we'd have to go through all those pains, but I would hope that you're right about that. That on the other side, that, the people will learn from their mistakes. But history hasn't showed that we've learned from too many mistakes, because I remember one of the wars was classified as the war to end all wars, and it hadn't stopped. I mean, we've been in constant conflict around the world for how many years? How many decades? And it just don't seem to have an end to it. And every time you turn around and think that you've heard it all, there's another war on something. A war on men, a war on women, a war on drugs, a war on poverty, And when I say a war on poverty, you'd think that they're trying to fight for the good of it. But when you're talking about arresting somebody for feeding the homeless, or, you know, actually putting the homeless in internment camps and forcefully taking any of their benefits so that, that you can take care of them and try to make a new citizen out of them or whatever and get them back on their feet. That some of the views of the people out there, their ideas are sickening. They actually believe that the ends justify the means. Oh, you could take away somebody's freedom for, you know, protection, you know, the red flag laws. You hear about those. Somebody can just say that.
What do you think is going to happen in the United States here in the next couple of weeks when some of these names get released on the AG report and Horowitz and Dunham and these people that are going to release their reports on the investigators of the investigators?
Well,
I think you're going to see some very interesting things happen.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit scary happen in the United States here going forward the next couple of weeks.
I think you're probably right. I think that there will probably be one heck of an uproar of hooray, so to speak. Everybody applauding. Finally, some of these corrupt individuals are going to go have to face the judge. You know, but you
what kind of a ripple down effect is that going to have on the streets of the United States?
Well, it's already.
What are you going to see? you think that Rodney Kent was bad? I think you could see major upheaval because there's groups that are going to take to the street, that are going to actually go to armed confrontation against normal citizens. These groups are sitting there waiting for the word go. If you don't think that's true, I'll argue that with you.
I know it's true because there are groups out there who say that they want to bring about a revolution. They say that, they openly say it, that that's what this country needs is, you know, every so often, so many years, that we need a violent bloodshed revolution in order to sort things out. But look, it's the victor who writes the story at the end of the war. We don't even know our true history for the most part because it's all been suppressed. It's been taught in school things that, you know, the victor decided that you should know. It's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's what they want you to know. And we've been manipulated in so many different forms and fashion that those of us who have our eyes open and are realizing that something stinks in the hen house, so to speak, that it's not, everything's not jiving. We're the ones out here doing the alternative media. We're the ones out here building these alternative networks. We're also the ones that's out there in the militias and the groups and the whatever that's trying to, you know, prepare for worst case scenario and do whatever it takes in order to ensure that our families are secure and our safety and try to make a better world. We're out here. We live, you know. And the governments and the people behind the scenes that are actually doing what it is that they're doing that's actually getting people riled up. Like I said earlier, the media is responsible for the reaction of all these people rushing out to buy more firearms. The government, the officials out there who swore to put their oath of office said that they would serve and protect and uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and are not doing it. They are responsible for the reaction of what the American people have been doing every single time they rush to the gun store. So if they think that gun confiscation is going to be something that's going to go along smoothly, they're fooling themselves because we already know the criminals aren't going to up theirs. And the honest people, for fear of their own safety, are definitely not going to let go of theirs. Like, what's that one guy said, out of my cold dead hands is what he said.
Charlton Heston.
Yeah. That's what they're up against, but they're banking on the fact that they probably got some cool toys in the background that they're going to use on us. They probably got the food and they probably got the money situation that they think they can use against us. So they got a handful of cards and they're getting ready to call the American people's bluff. When they do that, they better have a better hand.
Shaziz, as a poor old frostbitten Canadian boy sitting way up here looking down insides, I have the luxury of being on the outside of the fish tank looking in.
Yeah.
And you said some words that we keep hearing over and over again, especially through all of this politically based upheaval. You referred to an oath where people are required to defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Yep.
But what it fails to address is that what if the people who are sworn to protect it are in fact the enemy of that which they are to protect?
Yep, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Incrementally, they're sitting there stripping away your rights right in front of you, but using it under the guise of protection. We got to save the children. Hey, I love the children too, but I'm not gonna take away or give up my rights because you think you can do a better job at protecting my family than I can.
How's the line from that song go? You can't even run your own life. I'll be damned if you'll run mine.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
people that live in glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones.
You're right, Barry. And see, these people, I swear, they are really seriously underestimating the psyche of the American citizen because, we got here, it was a rough road to get where we're at. But now that we're here, you have actually put in play some pretty messed up people. You put some people out on the battlefield who came home, and then you didn't even want to take care of them and keep your promise to them. And you're going to have to be up against them. Plus, you're going to have to be up against all the people you got all hooked on all kinds of psychotropic drugs and other types of medicines that when they don't have that, or they don't have their food stamps or their Nintendo or PlayStation or whatever it is that their little shiny toys or, you know,
or their
distractions.
4G wireless for their phones.
Yeah. When you pull the plug, you better be ready for that backlash, because that's exactly what's coming. We already see it every time somebody says that the Republicans are going to steal Granny's Social Security. Everybody gets all up in a panic. Granny don't want to lose her Social Security. You know, they're trying to steal Grandpa's wooden leg and, you know, Uncle Tom's walker and stuff. You know, this is what they say. They tell you all these lies, get you all riled up, and then the next thing you know, everybody's rushing to the gun store. They got their picket signs out there. Everyone's a racist, including the guy with the red hat. And it's nuts. But if you think it wasn't intentional, you haven't been paying attention. These folks know exactly what they're doing. They've been pulling this kind of stuff. If you go back and really look into the conspiracy world, if you really want to go down rabbit holes, they knew about Pearl Harbor before Pearl Harbor happened. They, did a few attacks on their own stuff in order to get the American people riled up and get us to be, you know, going to war. There was a lot. There was a lot behind the scenes. There's a history back there if you're willing to dig deep enough and find out. But the trick is, you got to figure out a way not to react the way that they expect you to react. And you stand up in unison with each other, they'll back down. It's been proven. It's been done before. And you can find that too if you want to look into it. It has been done. When the American people stand up, these folks know. It's just like that Bugs Life thing that I keep playing over and over again. It says if they outnumber us 100 to 1, and when they realize that, our way of life changes. That's why they were going to go back and get those ants. You think that's not happening in the United States or Canada or anywhere else? They're pushing our backs against the wall, and when it happens, it happens. But you have to be aware, if you're the one behind the scenes pushing the buttons, it ain't gonna play out the way that you expect it to. I promise you that. Now, I've already seen the mess in my head. I know what's coming. But, you know, take it however you want. Huh? What'd you say, Barry?
I said they're pushing civilization to armed confrontation.
Yeah, they are.
They're pushing us to, and that's the end game. Is they want us to go to an armed confrontation against the government, because if we do that, we're gonna lose. And we have to avoid that. I know that might be hard to do, At this point, we have to use the legal resources that we have at our fingertips still to fight this, because the window's still open. But it's going to close real soon, I believe that.
Yeah, and that's why I say that just be thankful right now that people are still talking. Because when the talking stops and that first shot rings out, it's over. Chips has all been thrown on the table. You better have the right hand, because if you ain't playing the right hand, you're gonna not be happy with the outcome of the game that you just played. You're gonna fail. Now this is probably one of the best hopes of this thing being able to be held together, that there are people behind the scenes working towards fixing what is broken. Now, they got their work cut out for them, just like we got our work cut out for us to spread the message to each other that don't let these people play you like a banjo. Don't let them manipulate you anymore. You're already in the mess. I mean, everywhere you go, you got a camera in your face. You got somebody telling you got to have this license, that license. You got to have all this. And constantly, the older we get, the younger generations are going to come into a day when they don't even know they had any rights. They won't fight back because they won't know they have that option. But maybe these words will resonate into the future. With that said, we're getting down there to the wire, man. It's time to go around the table. So which one of you guys want to go first?
Go ahead, Duke.
Well, we've touched on a whole lot of things today, as is usual with your roundtable conversations. I think we need to sit back and take a good look at what's going on, not only in the United States or Canada, but all around the world. We are seeing, from China to Chile to Canada, all the same thought based incentive. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, well, they're pretty much manipulating us all in the same form and fashion.
Well, they're all, whether it's manipulation or the driving force behind what we're seeing, everywhere we look, we're seeing examples of we the people.
Yep.
And all through our conversation today, I've had the words of an American comedian by the name of Brad Stein echoing through my head. And as part of his act, Brad points out, we've gone from the most powerful nation in the world in the 19th century by beating the most powerful nation in the world to being the most pussified nation in the world in the 20th century, because we can't go through life without being told we're too stupid to not know to wear a helmet.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's the society that almost all of the world has become. We accept those in charge telling us you're too stupid for your own good, so we're going to pass a law that says you have to wear a seatbelt.
Well, I want to point people out to the old Hansel and Gretel story. Go read the story of Hansel and Gretel and see what they were offered. Oh, wow, it looked all good, didn't it? I think those folks ended up in the oven, didn't they? Anyway.
Yes, they did. But, hey, I miss Barbara and Patty in here today. Hopefully they'll be back next week.
So yeah, hearing
their input.
Yeah, everybody send their prayers out. I heard Patty wasn't feeling so well.
She's got bronchitis.
Yeah, so everybody send your prayers and your hopes and your peace and love out to her, and she'll get better. She'll be back, her and Barbara both. But anyway,
well, yeah. It's been an interesting show today, so this is always a great conversation that I get into with you guys. And we've gone a lot of different places and talked about lots of different things in a short time. But really, all I'll end up with saying is kind of keep an eye on events going on down south of the border, or if you're in the United States in the next couple of weeks, because I believe there could be a trigger. But I've really kind of had a little bit of a hard look at this, and the deep state is in up to their neck right now. They've put themselves in a corner that they can't get out of, and the gloves are going to come off. So just keep your heads up, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I have to agree with you, Barry. And it's awesome having you two on here again. I mean, always a brilliant show. It takes on a life of its own, but this is a serious conversation that we've had here today. And I'm hoping that each and every one of you listening in today shares this message with people. Because we don't want what we see coming down the road happening. I honestly believe that, I still believe in the dream. I still believe that we could bring about peace, hope, and love in this world if we really all got together. You know, odds against that? Hey, I wouldn't bet on it. But I'm still not going to give up. I'm going to be on the battlefield till the last word comes out of my mouth and there ain't no more to say. You know, that's because I have grandchildren. Duke has grandchildren. Barry, I'm sure you probably got grandchildren too. We got family that we love. We got people out there, friends, People for People Radio Network. Go over there. They'll welcome you over there too. Shaziz Radio Network. Come over and jump in these chat rooms and join in on the conversation. There's so many brilliant people out there. They put in comments in these chat rooms that, they help us and we help them and we all work through all these things together. We have to talk about hard subjects sometimes and it breaks our heart that, you know, because as we're talking about them, we're watching the movie play out in our head. But share these podcasts. Share it, at least this podcast. Share it with somebody out there. Let them hear other people out there thinking just like they are. They're not helpless, and so far it's not hopeless. We do have our work cut out for us because this world that we live in, it didn't get in a mess overnight. And it ain't going to get fixed overnight. But maybe the seeds that we plant here today might very well bear the fruit that will give our children some substance and actually give them the smooth walking stones into the future so that maybe they can live something that we didn't, have the luxury of, just a peaceful, careful, carefree life where they take care of one another. That's what we wanted all along. That's the whole reason why the Patriots stood up and fought for one another. That's why you should stand up and fight for your brothers and sisters. You should stand up and speak up when it's time to speak. And by God, if you can sing like an angel, now's the time to do it.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. Go down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where they ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till
the barrel melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay? What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing Clive crossing through the gate?
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Survives the terrible and the knights of the round table.